So Matthew 6, verse 9 to 13, we're going to read it first of all out of the New Living Translation, and then we're going to read it out of the King James Version. So it says, pray like this, our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us of our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And the King James Version says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And for some of us, we know the other version where it says trespasses instead of debtors. So this morning, I just want to take a fresh look at the Lord's Prayer. You know, there's so much we can learn and apply from these few verses. And they really do inspire us when it comes to the area of prayer and how we should pray. You know, Scripture is a great source in helping us to pray. And, you know, here's just one of many prayers that we find in the Bible. And they're there for us to use. You can repeat them as they are. You can use them to guide you. You can use it to lead you. You can just use it to direct you into that prayer. And there's all kinds of prayers in Scripture. We just came through the book of Psalms, and I always love the book of Psalms, and lots of prayers in the book of Psalms I like to pray numbers of times. Psalm 51, a great prayer there. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. That's a beautiful prayer. And I like to pray that prayer lots. And sometimes you can read the whole chapter 51 and apply that to a prayer. So just fantastic prayer of repentance, of restoration, of wanting to draw closer to God. And another one that's very familiar as well is from Psalm 139, 23, 24. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. So there's lots of prayers that you can find in the Bible, and they are good to pray. It's good to pray Scripture. When you're praying Scripture, you know that you're in the will of God because you're praying something that God has said to do. And probably the most famous one, of course, is the one we just referred to, the Lord's Prayer in the Bible. Even people who don't believe in God or who are not Christians, they'll often quote the Lord's Prayer and use that prayer, not realizing the power of it or the meaning of it. But a lot of people know that prayer. And as you know, grow in your prayer life, you know, sometimes, you know, we can convince ourselves that, well, I don't need this prayer anymore. Well, you know, this prayer's, you know, I know how to pray myself now, and so I don't need this. And, you know, I think you're missing something if you don't use this prayer anymore. You know, it's more than just a prayer to repeat, but it's a prayer that's filled with meaning and can continue to guide us and remind us of things that we should be praying about. Personally, on a personal level, I often use this prayer myself, especially at the end of my prayer time. I like to say this prayer because, you know, sometimes, you know, and your prayer can be quite inward focused or things that you're aware of, needs that you're aware of. And so it's kind of good to remind yourself, maybe there's a few other things I need to be praying about this morning. And so just to say that prayer does inspire you to say, oh, yeah, I should be praying about this, or I should be praying about that. And so good things are there in that prayer, you know, to give praise unto God, to take a personal inventory, to look at ourselves, to look at the needs of others who may be struggling out there. So all kinds of things that are there. And, you know, sometimes in our prayers, we can be very focused just on ourselves and our personal requests. And it needs to be more, prayer needs to be more than just about us. Prayer needs to be about others as well and about the Lord. And the Lord's Prayer certainly reminds us of that. And so I just want to take a fresh look at this prayer and just share some of the truth and insights that it provides to help us to pray with greater insight and greater effectiveness in our own prayer lives. And so the prayer starts off by encouraging us to look to our Heavenly Father. Matthew 6:9, pray like this, our Father in heaven, or as the King James Version says, our Father who art in heaven. And it reminds us that we're to acknowledge God as our Heavenly Father, to acknowledge Him for who He is. He is the Lord God Almighty. There is none like Him. There is none that can compare to Him. He is the Almighty God of the heavens. He's the Almighty God of the earth. He's the Almighty God of all of the universe. He stands supreme. There's no one greater than Him. So a good place, obviously, to start praying is to acknowledge who you're praying to. Our Father. But this prayer is also about making that prayer personal, because it's our Heavenly Father. Our Father. It's supposed to be ours. Is there that ownership there? Is there that knowledge there that He is your Father? We need to focus on the our, the my. He's not just a supreme being in the heavens. Lots of people that you'll meet say, oh yeah, I believe in God. But if you ask them, well, who is He? They don't know. Is He your Father? Is He your Father? And that's who He wants to be. He wants to be our Heavenly Father. How do we get to know God as our Father? Well, get to know Jesus. You know Jesus, you'll know the Father. John 14:6, Jesus spoke these words. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So if you know Jesus, you're going to know the Father. You'll come to that place, when you come to that place in your life where you choose to believe and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, as God's Son, as the Savior of the world, you're going to come to that place where you know the Father. So, as you think about that, do you know the Father? Do you know Jesus? If you don't know Jesus, then you can't know the Father. Knowing God as your Father, it also speaks about relationships. It speaks about a personal acknowledgement of who God is to you. Is He your Heavenly Father? Is He the one that you are in relationship with and that you can express in your own words that, yes, He is my Father. He's my Heavenly Father. And as you pray, when you get to realize that there's a relationship there when you're praying, it doesn't make God so distant anymore. It makes God very close to you as you realize, I'm praying to my Father today. I'm praying to my Father today. Ephesians 1:5 says this. He says, God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. And this is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. Kind of thought about that in thinking about the birth of Christ, thinking about the death of Christ, the ascension of Christ. Not all that was good to go through all that pain and for Jesus to go through all that pain. And yet the Father says it pleased Him to do this because He wants relationship with each and every one of us. Amazingly, our Heavenly Father loved us and wanted that relationship with us. I think it would have been far easier that He would just simply destroy the whole world. I think it would be far easier, but He didn't. He sent His Son, Jesus. And so as you think about our Father, are you in relationship with your Heavenly Father? Are you feeling that acceptance and that privilege, that sonship, daughtership, that you can call God your Father? The Bible says that through Jesus Christ, we can call Him Abba, Father, Daddy. That's who He is. And again, it's all suggesting an intimacy that we can have with our Father. And so we need to understand today that our Father wants relationship with us. He wants us to respond to Him. And as we do that, you'll find that He is caring, He is loving, He's compassionate, He's a perfect Father. He may not be like an earthly father. He isn't like an earthquake. He's far greater. During conference, we were listening to a gentleman, and he was sharing his story about growing up in life. And from the day he was born and brought home from the hospital, his stepfather kicked him across the side of the room. They thought he had died. And that was his life until the late teenager years, where his dad constantly beat him every day. That's not our Heavenly Father. Our Father loves us, and He cares about us, and is willing to give us His Son that we might come to faith in Him. Psalm 103 reminds us of this, giving us a true picture of our Heavenly Father. It says, "The Lord is like a father to His children, tender, compassionate to those who fear Him, for He knows how weak we are, and He remembers we are only dust." You need to realize your Heavenly Father loves you. And as you call out to Him, you're going to be receiving that love. He wants to bestow His love on you. He wants to be compassionate. He wants to be understanding towards you. He wants to be very caring about you. He wants to guide you into things that are best for you. You know, as you read more about our Father, He desires that no one would perish or go to hell. And because of that, He sent us His Son so that we wouldn't have to go to hell. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him won't perish, but have eternal life." So our Heavenly Father is very interested in us, and He wants to show His love towards us, even be a father to us in the best of ways. And if you grew up in a home where, you know, things were not great, where things were not wonderful, maybe you had a father that hated you. Maybe you had a father that mistreated you. Our Heavenly Father is calling out to us today to say, "Come to Me. Call on Me. I'll be compassionate to you. I'll be loving to you. I'll be caring to you. I will help you." So who's your Father? Who's your Heavenly Father? Is He the Lord? Is He the one that you are acknowledging in your life? They used to say that phrase, "Who's your daddy?" Right? You have a Heavenly Father. That's who He is. I've been bought into this family through the blood of Jesus Christ. He's my Heavenly Father. Do you know Him? Can you say that when you look at that prayer? Is He your Heavenly Father? Can you say that? He wants to bring you to that place where you have a confidence within inside of you to say, "Yes, I have a Heavenly Father who loves me, who cares about me, and who wants to do good things for me." That's who He is. So that's what the Lord's Prayer reminds us of. First and foremost, we have a great Heavenly Father. Call on Him. Look to Him. And then secondly, the Lord's Prayer reminds us that our God is holy, and He deserves our reverence and our respect. Matthew 6:9, pray like this: "Our Father in heaven, may Your name be kept holy." Or as the King James says, "Hallowed be Your name." And again, this prayer is teaching us to acknowledge our God, not just as a Father, but as a Holy Father, a holy God that is worthy of our worship, our respect, our service, our time, our commitment, and also for us to live a holy life. You know, when we hear that word today, holiness, a lot of Christian people don't like that word anymore. And yet it's been there in the Bible. We are called to live a holy life. Holiness is still something that's very important. The Scriptures are very clear that we are to live a holy life. 1 Peter 1:15-16. Actually, it's a quoting from the Old Testament, but it says, "Now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy, for the Scriptures say you must be holy because I am holy." You know, and if you just kind of think about that for a moment, if you're going to approach a holy God, don't you think that it's going to make you kind of think about that before you step up before Him? That, man, what about my holiness? Or what about my lack of holiness? It's going to be something that should come to our minds. You're approaching a holy God. So that's something that's for us to remember. We need to remember that even though he's our Father, he's also a holy God, a holy Father. He's still the Almighty God. And there are protocols in place that demand our attention and our worship. The book of Revelation gives us a picture of what it's like to be before that very throne. Revelation 4:8, it says, each of these living beings had six wings, and their wings were covered all over with eyes, inside and out. Now listen to what it says. Day after day, night after night, they keep on saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, the one who always was, who is, and who is still to come. So it's teaching us that there is a level here of respect and reverence that should accompany our prayers as we cry out to God. Acknowledge our God for who he is, that yes, he's that personal Father, but he's also a holy God. And we need to balance all of that as we come before his majesty and his holiness, as we recognize his power. It also should cause us to strive to live a holy life. It really is important that we as Christians live a lifestyle that is different than the world. If we're living the same way as the world is living, what kind of a message is that to them? It's telling the world that Christianity makes no difference at all. Well, we're supposed to be living differently, so as the world looks to us, they realize these people are living lives differently. Holiness is part of that. And as we practice holiness, we're doing something that honors God and helps us as we come before God with clean hands, clean hearts, as we come before him. So keep that in mind as you think of this prayer. And then thirdly, we're reminded to pray about God's kingdom to come. May your kingdom come soon. Verse 10, thy kingdom come. See, ultimately, we want to see God's kingdom fully established here on earth with the Lord himself ruling and reigning. But until that time, we want to see God's rule and reign in all of our lives, right now, to have faith in Christ now, that people would come to that place that they would accept the authority and the kingship of our God, because his kingdom is not of this world. It's a heavenly kingdom. It will come to earth, but right now, still that heavenly kingdom. And it's about people acknowledging their Lord as king. Sometimes we don't think of that. If you come from different countries, a lot of countries have kings and princesses and so forth, and queens. And we're not too used to that, although Canada we should be, because we still have a king above us. But a lot of us aren't too familiar with that terminology. But we need to, because our God is a king. Kind of helps you remember, as you're coming before a king. You know, it's just you don't want to be just kind of nonchalant. You're coming before the King of Kings. You're coming before the Lord of Lords. But this kingdom is about people acknowledging the Lord as king of their life. People who will submit themselves to the Lord and that will give allegiance to him. You know, when you make Christ your Lord, that's basically you're pledging allegiance to him. Sometimes we kind of miss that part. We just say, oh, it's just about believing. It's more than believing. It's about submitting and declaring your allegiance to him as king. And you know, again, God desires that all people to be part of his kingdom. That's his desire. And he encourages us to be praying that everyone would come to that place where they would acknowledge Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Listen to what it says in 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord isn't being slow about his promise, and it's talking about the promise to return. No, he's being patient for your sake, because he doesn't want anyone to be destroyed or anyone to be to perish, but wants everyone to repent. And that's what God is doing. He has given the opportunity for everyone to come to that place of faith, and he will delay his coming. Literally, he will delay his coming so that more people can respond and come to faith in Jesus Christ. And I really do believe the Lord's coming is soon, and I do believe there's going to be a great, great harvest of people responding and coming to faith in Christ. And I think we need to be ready to see this place overfilled, to see our prayer meetings overfilled, to see our prayer group in the reserves overfilled, to see our seniors group filling up that whole auditorium in the back, because there's people coming. They're going to come because days are getting shorter. And the Lord is calling out to people, desiring the people to be in his kingdom. Now, this is really an important message that we do need to get out. And, you know, as you start reading the scriptures, you see that this is something that's very, very important, that we proclaim the kingdom of God and preach the kingdom of God, that people might come into that kingdom, to leave the kingdom of darkness, to come into the kingdom of light. You'll see as you start to read the book of Matthew, you see John the Baptist and preaching about the kingdom of God. Then you see Jesus doing the very same thing. Matthew 3:2 says, "Repent of your sins." This here was John the Baptist. "And turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near." And then Matthew 4:17, Jesus picks that up. "From then on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent of your sins, turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near.'" And so to be a part of that kingdom, you know, sometimes we just focus on the belief part. But part of believing, there's a whole lot really that's in that. It's not just about belief, it's also about repenting. Coming to that place where we recognize that we have sinned, that we have fallen short. And for anybody, you know, out there today, we have all sinned. We've all come short. Bible clearly tells us that. He already knows that fact. That's a fact of everybody. So no one's better than anybody else. We all are in the same boat. We've all fallen short. So we got to come to before him, repenting of our sins and turning our lives over to God, that we might be part of his kingdom. And so that's what we're to do. That's how we're to prepare ourselves to be part of that kingdom, to pledge our allegiance to the Lord. And that's what we need to do. You know, we use those terminologies. Are you saved? Well, what is, you're saved from destruction. That's what it's talking about. But we're to plead allegiance to our God and to our King to be part of his kingdom. And again, we do that by repenting of our sins, turning to God in repentance, and committing ourselves to follow God's only Son, Jesus Christ. And this attention to this kingdom needs to happen again in our own lives. So again, you're praying that prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come." The first place you want that kingdom to come is in you. And then you want that kingdom to come unto others. The Bible says, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." The kingdom is supposed to be really important to all of us. It's supposed to be the most important thing. And I know today a lot of people say, "Oh, no, it's not all that important." The scripture says it is. So I'm going to stick with what the scripture says instead of what people say, and follow what the scriptures are saying. It says, "Seek the kingdom of God." Make the kingdom of God your primary concern. And when we pray this prayer, what are we thinking of when we do that? I hope you're thinking of, first of all, yourself. Am I in that kingdom? And then secondly, I hope that you're thinking about, am I spreading the words of the kingdom to others so that others might come to faith as well? So as you pray this prayer, first of all, you want to make sure the kingdom's inside of you. And then secondly, you want to make sure that that kingdom gets extended to whoever will hear you. That's an important part of every church, is that we're not just inward focused, but also outward focused to touch the lives of other people, that we invite them to come into the kingdom of God. Matthew 28:19-20, that's what Jesus was telling us to do. He says, "Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So we start off by accepting the kingdom within ourselves, and then we're to declare it to whoever will listen, and we're to go to wherever God would lead us to reach others for Jesus Christ. And so, again, very, very important to be praying, "Thy kingdom come." We want to see God's kingdom rule and reign here on earth, but it starts right here in our own personal lives. Then fourthly, we come to be praying, thy will be done. We're praying that God's will be done. We're not praying our will be done. We're praying his will to be done. Matthew 6:10, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Or thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we're praying that God's will, God's desires, God's plans will be fulfilled. It's kind of taking the focus away from ourselves and our wants and our desires to surrendering ourselves to God's will. You know, and sometimes that can be a little bit hard because if we're honest, a lot of times our prayers, the important part of our prayers that we often have in our own heads is all about my needs, all about my situation, all about my circumstances that are going on. And we're pretty fluent in praying about those things that concern ourselves. But it's reminding us here that we need to be praying for God's will, that we would respond to God's will, and also that God's will would be done. You know, as we look at all the craziness that is happening in our world, even in the political realm, all the craziness that is happening, even in the hockey game last night as well, praying God's will. God, we want your will to be done. God, we want you to start moving through this nation of Canada and stirring things up in our nation to turn people back to you. We want to see that in every nation of the world. And sometimes we just take the time to criticize all of our leaders, which is very easy to do. And sometimes that you can get off on a track that we shouldn't be on. We need to be praying for the nations. We need to be praying for the leaders of the world. We need to be praying that God, let your will be done. I don't know how it's going to happen, but God, I'm praying your will gets done in those nations and those parts of the world. Now, in doing the will of God, again, first of all, look at yourself. Are you doing what God is calling you to do? Are you being obedient to those things that God is speaking to you? That's an important thing to consider. And so as we're praying that, we're looking to ourselves. Lord, I submit myself to your will. That's another prayer I like to pray a lot, because there's times where I have some other thoughts, other things that maybe, oh, I should do this or I should do that. But then I say, but Lord, if I'm praying anything, Lord, that's not really in your will, maybe, Lord, I'm missing it or something. Well, God, I want to submit myself to your will. That whatever your will is, God, that's where I want to be. So, Lord, if I'm asking for things that are out of your will, please forgive me and help me to do thy will. Thy will be done. You know, and Jesus, you know, he was teaching us this himself. Even when he was experiencing pain and trials and troubles. And, you know, sometimes when we go through hard times, we're often saying, God, get me out of here, God. You know, and we're saying these things for, you know, save our own skin. And God might be telling us, no, I want you to go through this. I'm going to be with you, but you're going to go through this time. Listen to what Jesus did. Think of in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember, he's about to be betrayed by his own disciples. He's about to be punished. He's about to be tortured. And he knows his reason that he's here. But listen to what he did. He said he went a little bit further there in the Garden of Gethsemane. He bowed his face to the ground. My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Did Jesus really want to go through all that suffering? No, he didn't. What else did he say? Yet, I want your will to be done and not mine. You know, sometimes you may go through things in life that are painful, that are hurtful. There's a great cost to it. And doing that will, the will of God. But, you know, the Bible does say that when we choose to follow Christ, you need to count the cost. You need to come to that place where you're willing to deny yourself and take up your cross and actually be ready to lay down your life for him. So as you're praying this prayer, we're asking just as Jesus was, Heavenly Father, give me the strength to follow through with your will, no matter what, even though there could be some uncomfortable consequences or some uncomfortable costs to doing that. And you know, we all realize the will of God is not always easy, but it is beneficial. There will be hard choices that you will have to make. There will be sacrifices that you will have to do. But in the end, God's will lead you to what is best for your life. Romans 12:2 says these words. It says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And then you're going to learn to know God's will, which is good, pleasing, and perfect." See, God wants to lead us into what is best for ourselves. Sometimes we disagree with God. And we kind of say, "Lord, I don't think you know what you're doing. Lord, don't you see the situation I'm in? Don't you see the circumstance I am in?" And, you know, sometimes we go through life and we don't know the whys. We may not know those whys until we're in heaven and say, "God, why did I have to go through this? Why did this happen in my life, Lord?" And some of those things we won't know. But we got to get back to the place, "Lord, I'm praying for your will. I'm going to submit myself to your will, even though it hurts, even though it's painful. I'm going to continue to walk this path that you have led me in, God, until you tell me differently. Your will be done." And see, the Lord, in this prayer here, it's also coming to a place, "Will you trust me?" So we're praying that, and God's asking us, "Will you trust me that I will lead you into my will? If you would submit yourself to my will and trust me, I will lead you to that which is best for your life, that which is good for your life, that which is perfect for your life." And so it kind of leads us to another aspect of the praying the will of God is our obedience to that will. Are we going to be obedient to the will of God? You know, I'm sure probably all of us at times have run away from God's will. Or maybe we tried to go down a different road, thinking like, "Oh, I think that's going to be better." But then we realized, no, it's not. And we brought ourselves back and we're serving the Lord again and doing our best for God. He has a will for our lives. You want to stay on that path because that's where the goodness of God comes in. That's where God will be with us and help us even through difficult times. Even through, think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Think of Jesus going through the crucifixion. The Lord was still with him, and because of it, all humanity can be saved through Jesus Christ. He knows what is best for us. He knows what is best for us. So this prayer is meant to be, you know, bigger again than just ourselves. Again, we're praying about God's will for us, but also God's will for our world. God's will for Alberta. God's will for the nation of Canada. God's will for the nation of the USA. We need to be praying for the nations of the world. Praying for God's will. That things would turn around. That godly people would suddenly pop up in the places where these leaders are needing advice. And that suddenly things would start turn around and shaping more to the will of God. So that's certainly a good thing that we need to be praying about. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Then lastly for today, we'll end with this one. Our daily bread. Matthew 6:11, give us today the food we need. Or give us today our daily bread. You know, you might be surprised that as we come to God our Father that he's concerned about the things that concern us in our daily life. So if you have concerns or you're struggling with some things in regards to the necessities of life or there's some anxiousness in your life right now, you need to realize that God's concerned about that. 1 Peter 5:7, give all your worries and cares to God because he cares about you. He does. He's an ever-present help in our times of trouble. He wants to help us. He can help us. And we all remember that one of the names of God is Jehovah Jireh, which is the Lord provides. He's able to help us. He's able to provide for us and able to meet the needs of our lives. He wants to do that. He wants to do that. So he's asked us, come to me. Talk to me about those daily things that are going on in your life. I want to help you. Now sometimes we take that to extreme and we kind of give him all of our wants. And you know what? God sometimes gives us our wants. God sometimes gives us the desires of our hearts. But it's not really, what he's telling us here is not to, plaster me with all your wants. But he is saying, you know what? There's some things that are really important to you right now. Bring them to me. Bring them to me. Bring those things that are important to you right now and that are necessities for you right now, because that's what concerns God most. And that's where he wants to touch us. And you'll find that, we serve a God that does want to help us, wants to provide for us. And it is amazing that when you start talking with people, you realize just how much God has provided for us. Sometimes health and strength. Sometimes it can be finances. Sometimes it can be all kinds of different things. Philippians 4:19 says this, "And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches." He's a rich God. It's not shortage. No shortage there, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. So he's a God that can supply all our needs. So if you have a need today, if you're going through a situation today, maybe there's some things that are really necessary and a necessity for you, you're at the right place. You're looking to the God of gods. I love Psalm 23, and the Lord is my shepherd. And again, us people repeat this prayer. They say this verse. They quote this verse. But you're missing something if you don't catch that part where it says, the Lord is my shepherd. And he's a shepherd that will guide us. He's a shepherd that will lead us. He'll bring us to those places where there's some green meadows, where there's a supply for us. He'll bring us to that place where there's some peaceful streams. That's what he does. But he needs to be your shepherd. Not just a shepherd. He wants to be your shepherd. So as we pray the Lord's Prayer, I really pray that it would encourage you maybe to pray a little bit different. Sometimes, our prayer life can kind of get squeezed down into, it's just really a lot of wants, a lot of cries for ourselves. And God wants to expand our prayer life. God also wants to be more involved in our lives as well. And he's inviting us as a Heavenly Father to call on him. And so as we close here this morning, the musicians come back to the instruments and just kind of play us a song in closing. What's going on in your life today? Where are you struggling? Where are you hurting? What things need to take place? What things need to happen? You have a Father. He's concerned about you. He knows what you're going through. He knows where your struggle is. He knows how to get you out of a mess if you're in a mess. That's who he is. And he wants to invite us afresh to say, call on him. Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, I need you today. I need you to intervene. I need you to touch me today. I need you to give me a breakthrough in this area. And so I'm coming to you afresh and anew. My Father. See, when you start praying like that, man, it changes a whole lot of perspective. Because he's my Father. I know my Father's going to listen to me. I know my Father. He cares about me. Man, we're blessed because we got a good Heavenly Father. I grew up in a home. I had a good father. I had a good life. Wonderful. Most people haven't, as I'm getting to realize. Boy, life can be tough. Oh, but I have a Heavenly Father that's watching over me. I have a Father that cares about me. I have a Heavenly Father that's attentive to the needs and the situations that are going on in my life right now. And he wants to bring me to that place where he gives me good things. Because every good and perfect gift comes from where? From the Father himself.